Well, hey, this is your old friend Bill. Whenever I find myself in Davis, I'm busy putting the fun in fundraising. But when I'm not, I always listen to KDVS 90.3 FM. And you should too. Go Aggies!
This is Radio Parallax, a slightly different perspective from a slightly different view, with topics that include matters in science, technology, history, politics, current events, and whatever we damn well please. And now the host of Radio Parallax, Douglas Everett.
I need to give you a phone number at the top of our program. That number would be 1-800-862-1062. I need to give you that because this is our annual pledge drive here at KDVS. This is a community-supported radio station, and that would be you, the community, and we need your support to keep on the air. Numerous gifts are available at different pledge levels. I frankly can't keep them straight, but I'm sure that they can tell you at 1-800-862-1062 what you might be able to get for different levels of pledges. One that we would suggest you consider is the $100 level, at which point you will be given the opportunity to act as DJ for your own 1 hour of programming here at KDVS. This is quite an offer. Try calling one of the commercial stations and seeing if they'll let you take the mic for an hour for $100. After they stop laughing at you, you can then pick up the phone and call KDVS. We're going to give you that number several times during the course of today's programming. We're going to actually give you, for the most part, our usual programming on this show. Most prominently, we're going to go in a later segment to Michael Parenti. We're going to re-air the program that we first aired on March 6th of this year, where Dr. Parenti discussed the media in this country. KDVS needs your help to bring you diverse programming. And if you look at the assortment of what you can get, I suggest you go to the website, www.kdvs.org, and take a look if you're unfamiliar with just what is available to you. I think you'll be impressed. Let's take about 2 minutes to review what we've brought you here in the past months on this program. Dr. Andy Jones of the English Department at UCD, who has his own program as part of public affairs in the same time slot, Wednesdays at 5 o'clock, where he brings you Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour, talk to us about the invention of television and Philo Farnsworth many, many months back. Dr. Catherine Olmsted from UCD's History Department talked to us about her interesting book, Red Spy Queen. Dr. Mark Wheelis from UCD's Microbiology Department, who is a nationally and internationally renowned expert on bioweapons, talked to us about that very subject, hopefully reassuring you a bit, given all of the inflammatory information out there in the media. Dr. Lynn Roller from UCD's Classics Department talked to us a bit about Mesopotamia, its very interesting history. And unfortunately, no sooner had she told us about some of the great treasures from that region, but they were looted from the Baghdad Museum. But our contributions don't just come from UCD. We really are a community-based program. So if you're not a UCDer or alumni, well, you know, don't feel left out. Cosmo Garvin of Sacramento's News and Review, an excellent investigative magazine, which comes out weekly, has appeared on the show and will do so again. We've been joined by local radio personality Gary Chu, local historian Roger S. Peterson educated us a bit about the Old West. We've had numerous Bay Area people join us. Dr. Gary Aguilar, who has investigated numerous government cover-ups. William Turner. Bill Turner's written numerous books about various political goings-on in this country. Turner is an ex-FBI man who stood up to Hoover while he was in the FBI. It's a remarkable story. Bill Turner will be appearing on the show again in the future. Dr. Michael Parenti, we mentioned. You'll be hearing from him a little bit later. Jim DiEugenio, educator and author, joined us from Los Angeles. He was the editor of Probe magazine, which ran some wonderful investigative pieces for many years in the 1990s. Jim will be coming back on our show as well in the future, if we can get your support. Also joining us by phone from Los Angeles was Scientific American columnist Michael Shermer, who talked a bit about that Fox special that was aired, supposedly casting doubt on whether we went to the moon. This program involves numerous regular contributors, Dr. Tony Held and Dr. Whitney Lehman, both affiliated with UCD, local pilot Vlado Zarevica, local anesthesiologist Dr. Sean O'Neill. We have two lawyers who regularly contribute, Stuart Gardner and Steve Alexander. And we even, when we need to talk about sports, which isn't very often, but when we do, Sean Minton, former sports commentator from the Pacific Northwest. We also like to occasionally delve into satire, as you hopefully are well aware. When we do that, we go sometimes locally to Sacramento cartoonist and UCD grad Eric DeCetus, who's provided numerous voices for us, as well as to Los Angeles, where our Hollywood correspondent, David Rosenblum, who's played by Donald Rose, often tells us what's going on down there. Donald Rose does numerous other celebrity impersonations for us, Bill Clinton, Charlton Heston, O.J. Simpson, Paul McCartney, and many others. So show us you care. Show us you care about the station. Show us you care about this program. Call 1-800-862-1062 and give what you can. Well, let's do a bit of our normal programming here, shall we? I've got an email here sent to me by my sound engineer sent me this last week. It was by Ariana Huffington. It appeared on the web. I want to quote from it briefly. From the moment that the statue of Saddam Hussein hit the ground, the mood around the Rumsfeld campfire has been all high fives, I told you so's, and prattling about how the speedy fall of Baghdad is proof that those who opposed the invasion of Iraq were dead wrong. What nonsense. In fact, the speedy fall of Iraq proves the anti-war movement was dead right. The whole pretext for our unilateral charge into Iraq was that the American people were in imminent danger from Hussein and his mighty war machine. Now, there's an awful lot of spin going on, something we'll talk about again with Michael Perini in the news media. I found on the web an article about Donald Rumsfeld, who is crowing as he furiously puts spin on the news coming out of Iraq. One thing in this article, which came from the Toronto Star, which was available on the web, which really struck me, was that story of the 7-year-old girl who apparently was handing over a cluster bomb, weaponry that's been condemned by human rights groups, which apparently Americans dropped on Iraq, was returning a cluster bomb to 4 American soldiers when it blew up, injuring her and the soldiers. I believe one was actually killed in the explosion. In Baghdad, with U.S. Colonel Michael Linningham, commander of the 101st Airborne's 3rd Brigade, told reporters it was an accident. The child thought she was doing a good thing. Linningham was on the scene when that happened. But since then, his report has been massaged through Central Command headquarters in Doha, Qatar, and popped into the spin-dry cycle at the Pentagon, says the Toronto Star. Yesterday, U.S. General Richard Myers had a different take on the story. Quote, "The story we got this morning is the little girl handed over what was an improvised explosive device to do harm to the 4 soldiers," he said. "It wasn't a try to return a portion of ordnance. She tried to run away." "A 7-year-old?" asked the reporter. "Exactly," said Myers crisply. Well, like the Toronto Star, I'm very skeptical about the spin that was put on that story. They summed up the Pentagon briefing that Rumsfeld chaired as saying that the United States has not found weapons of mass destruction, it has not found Saddam Hussein, has no idea when the war will be over, and has no plans for Iraq's future. But it does have the 7-year-old nailed. And I have to read, I think, for you, the Doonesbury, which appeared several days ago. Gary Trudeau is, of course, one of America's foremost humorists. In Mr. Trudeau's cartoon, Uncle Duke is watching the television from which the following voice bubbles are emerging. "Secretary Rumsfeld, do you feel you finally have a handle on looting in Iraq?" You mean, is there some guy out there stealing ashtrays? Probably. Do we live in a perfect world where such things don't happen? Not likely. Do I prefer asking my own questions and then answering it? Gosh, yes. Can I make you look foolish by implying it's your question? Absolutely. Are we done here today? You bet. I think that pretty much hits the nail on the head. But to Secretary Rumsfeld, I would say, hey, buddy, two can play at that game. We very much prefer it when we can write the questions and provide the answers, which we like to do for you here at Radio Parallax. And now, live from Doha, Qatar, Colonel William Callie Klondike.
Please, please, call me Skip.
Colonel Skip, how are things going in Qatar?
Fine. Yes, this is a well-organized little emirate. Fine place to do business. And our business at hand is establishing a democracy for Iraq.
By the way, how is Qatar governed?
It is an emirate ruled by Sheikh Hamid bin Khalifa and son since 1971 when they got independence.
Uh-huh. Does it have any sort of Congress?
You mean like a legislature
yeah.
kind of thing?
Yeah.
Yes, it is a consultative body, a.k.a. a body that consults. Members are renewed every 4 years. Oil revenues key the economy. The government has a long record of good relations with the West.
Meaning Western companies.
Well, the World Trade Organization did meet here to plan globalization strategy. This is a most relaxed atmosphere in which to plan trade policies or the odd election.
Without protesters.
No, no protesters.
When was the last election in Qatar?
Well, they never have held an election, but the Sheikh is very keen to do so.
When?
Sometime. Soon, perhaps.
Uh-huh. Well, that's nice.
Yeah, it'll be great.
Colonel, I understand the U.S. is declaring victory now in our attack on Iraq.
Please, we did not attack Iraq. This was a war thrust upon us, a war with Iraq.
Well, war was never declared.
We feel Congress did grant the president authority to wage conflict without their interference, input, or involvement. You know, too many cooks spoil the broth, Douglas.
And the U.N.?
The president declared that the U.N. failed to take necessary action.
If war was not declared and there was no authority to act from the world's community of nations, how can one now declare this to be a victory, sir?
How? With our mouth, okay? I mean, we feel our aims have now been substantially met.
So you located those weapons of mass destruction.
This at present can neither be confirmed nor denied.
But, sir, you do now control the country, do you not?
The rule of the dictator Saddam Hussein has ended.
But what about, then, the excuse to hold a war in Iraq, weapons of mass destruction? If you control the country, you surely must have found some of those.
Look, we are very busy doing a lot of duties here.
Guarding one of the world's great museums was apparently not one of those, though.
Again, I cannot confirm or deny that.
All right, at the weapons. Secretary of State held up photos at the UN showing aerial views of them.
Yes, there were very nice photos there that Colin Powell, very good job he did on that presentation.
Okay, he said you could see them in the photos. So
yes.
Now you're on the ground at those locations, right?
We are indeed in occupancy of much of the Iraqi nation, yes.
So where are the weapons, sir?
Well, you know, you really underestimate the difficulty in determining whether such weapons are in fact present.
Can you affirm that you found uranium or plutonium?
I cannot affirm that fissionable materials have been located, no.
Can you confirm that you found anything resembling bioweapons?
I cannot confirm it, but I am not denying it either. Same with the nuclear materials.
Okay, but if you'd found them, I think we'd have heard about it.
Well, maybe not. It could be a surprise that we're saving.
Uh-huh. Now, we know that Saddam had pesticide-type chemical agents before the attack on Iraq.
We knew that for sure, yes.
Because we know who sold it to him, right?
Let's just say we were sure he had some. Extremely sure.
Uh-huh. Well, why not produce those now?
I am sure we will.
Hmm. How's our new viceroy in Iraq, retired General Garner?
The general has been boning up on the country, doing a fine job, reading Time, U.S. News, National Geographic, the World Almanac, Reader's Digest, the works. And, may I add, he also just re-rented Lawrence of Arabia.
Letterboxed?
Of course, the director's cut. By the way, we really do object to the term viceroy.
Well, a viceroy is a deputy that rules a nation or colony for a controlling interest, isn't he?
Technically, a viceroy rules for a sovereign power, and
And what?
Well, the U.S., having no king, You know, we just don't think the term is legitimate. Plus, it invites comparison to colonialism.
Well, we can't have that.
No. No, it is not advisable, we think. Why not talk election fever, Doug?
Election fever?
Yeah. The Iraqi populace is very excited over upcoming elections. They're in quite a sweat, and we'll be holding free elections for them just as soon as we can get the apparatus set up.
Well, that's nice.
We're shipping them voting machines as we speak. Old models used in a recent election, but still very serviceable.
I understand that you're also providing candidates for them.
Well, someone has to, and we feel responsible.
Uh-huh. Aren't you just going to, in fact, appoint Ahmed Chalabi president?
Mr. Chalabi is only one candidate, one of many.
Well, he's the one Richard Pearl favors.
Look, Mr. Pearl's opinion is not synonymous with U.S. policy.
Well, you could have fooled me, Colonel.
Douglas, we look forward to bringing democracy to the Middle East. That's the point here.
Just not in Qatar or Saudi Arabia.
Rome wasn't built in a day, you know.
When will the U.S. invade Syria, by the way, sir?
Well, that is on hold at present. The British just aren't going along. It's very difficult.
Well, what about the rest of the coalition? Tonga, Vanuatu, Palau, and the other postage stamp-sized countries in the coalition. Are they going to chip in?
Well, Tonga has sent along some very festive carved masks. They've really brightened up the day for a lot of people here, along with some very nice grass hula skirts. Both make fine gifts for Iraqi youngsters, you know.
Well, I was wondering more about troops to invade Syria with if the British don't go along.
Troops? No troops. Masks. Masks and skirts.
Sir, what's the deal with these playing card captives? This Mr. Abdullah was the nine of clubs. Mr. Al-Khaliq was the four of hearts. Is this war or poker?
Well, sometimes it is a game of war. You know, you can bet straight across on who gets the higher card, but poker is possible, too, if you group detainees in five-card hands.
Are the troops doing that?
Oh, here and there, yeah. I mean, a little friendly wagering does help while away the time.
I see.
And the cards help the soldiers memorize who is who. You know, it gets really confusing over here.
Yeah, that really helps humanize the conflict, I guess.
Couldn't have put it better myself. You know, we really seek to make this a humane war. Doug, you know, I'm looking at the watch here, and, you know, it's 0800. You know, I really must leave now. My unit just got another card ID capture, and we're working on three of a kind.
This is poker you're talking about.
The 101st Airborne only has two pairs so far.
And three of a kind would beat two pair?
Yes, it does. If Muhammad Al-Khalid is really the guy we nabbed, the four of diamonds, you know, we already have two fours, but he looks a lot like Mansour Akbar, who's the nine of spades. I don't know. I just hope they got the right guy.
Yeah. Well, good luck with that, Colonel, and please come again.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And I understand your program is already familiar with some of our media contractors.
We do know David Rosenblum, who did come up with your theme song for that impending Syrian invasion.
I told you, that invasion is on hold. But we do like Mr. Rosenblum's theme.
Bust a Move?
Whatever it was really catchy. Has a good beat, and we can invade to it. But I believe he'll have some news to tell you himself.
Well, we'll have to give him a call.
Well, I'd advise it. Post haste.
All right. Well, please come again, Colonel.
Thank you.
That was William Cali Klondike with the U.S. command in Doha, Qatar. That, ladies and gentlemen, was known as political satire. We hope to bring you more of that in the future, but to do so, we sure could use your help. So give us a call at 1-800-862-1062. Let's take a short break. You're listening to KDVS 90.3 FM, and this is Radio Parallax. I am Douglas Everett.